श्री रुक्मिणी उवाच श्रुत्वा गुणां भुवन सुंदर शिन्वतन्ते निर्विश्य कारण विवराय हरतों कटापम् रूपं दृशं दृश्यमितं अखिलार्थलाभम् त्वयाच्युता विशति चित्तमपात्र तपं मे श्रीरुक्मिणी उवाच श्रुत्वा गुणं भुवन सुंदर शृण्वतन्ते निर्विश्य कारण विवराय हरतों कतापम् रूपं दृशं दृश्यमितं अखिलार्थलाभम् त्वयाच्युता विशति चित्तमपात्रपं मे
Sri Rukmini said in her letter, as read by the Brahman, O beauty of the worlds, having heard of your qualities which enter the ears of those who hear and remove their bodily distress, and having also heard of your beauty which fulfills all the visual desires of those who see, I have fixed my shameless mind upon you, O Krishna. Report. Rukmini was a king's daughter, courageous and bold, and furthermore she would rather die than lose Krishna. Considering all this, she wrote a frank, explicit letter begging Krishna to come and take her away. This beautiful chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. We are reading of Rukmini's desperate appeal to Lord Sri Krishna to come and to steal her away from the terrible fate worse than death that she was facing in the form of her imminent marriage to Shishupal. Shishupal is envious of Krishna. Although he was a great king with great opulences and so many material, wonderful facilities to provide for Rukmini, she was not interested because she had already given her heart to Krishna. In a similar way, although Ravana was offering Sita, the consort of Sri Ram, the most heavenly opulences of an entire kingdom which was made of gold, she preferred to live in the forest with Ram. Maya, the material energy, is constantly in this material existence, endeavoring to somehow infatuate the Jivatma to leave Krishna with so many promises of material prosperity and various forms of subtle and gross sense gratification. Sometimes Maya Devi, she will offer so many opportunities for great wealth, for a big name, power, position, if we only give our hearts to that and put aside our Krishna consciousness. In fact, as a devotee progresses in spiritual life, the material energy offers greater and more difficult tests to pass. So many allurements. And if we are willing to accept any of those for our own sense enjoyment and divert from the path of Krishna consciousness, then we are most unfortunate. Shishupal represents the material energy which is symptomized by envy of Krishna. But we find here that Rukmini, her mind and her heart was fixed on Krishna alone. She didn't care whether she lived in the forest with Krishna or whether she lived in his beautiful palace in Dwaraka. She was willing to accept any situation if she could remain only with Krishna. She was chaste and faithful to Krishna alone. And in the same way, the jiva soul must be faithful and chaste to Krishna alone. We should not flirt with anything of this material energy. But we are all in a similar predicament, being in this material existence. Sometimes our own family members, the society around us, they are all trying to connect us to the Shishupal of material enjoyment and rebellion against Krishna. And what to do in such a situation? Rukmini, with complete desperate feelings, she was just crying out for Krishna to save her. She sent this beautiful letter through a Brahmin, begging Krishna to come to save her. In the same way, through the spiritual master and through the Vaishnavas, we must approach Krishna. And we must express to Krishna through their mercy, through their grace, how we will not be satisfied with anything other than his loving service. And it is with this same desperate longing for Krishna and simultaneous utter fear of Maya or Shishupal, we should actually be crying out Krishna's holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And if we cry out with such love and devotion, with such intense longing, with such distaste for Maya, then our Gurudev, he will take that message to Krishna, and he will be so pleased that he will personally come and steal our hearts away from this assembly of Maya's representatives of this material existence. Rukmini was surrounded by all sorts of Shishupal's friends and colleagues. There were entire armies of demoniac kings. She was like a lamb in a whole den of jackals. What was the hope of her escape? She was just a gentle and very young girl, not even a lady. She was a young girl. All the odds were against her. But she had faith that Krishna will save me. And yes, Krishna came. And all of the armies of Maya's representatives were trying to defeat her. But because her mind was fixed in praying to Krishna to save her, Krishna miraculously defeated all of Maya's representatives, all of Shishupal's friends, and stole her away. Therefore, he is known as Hari. For one who cries out for Krishna's mercy, following in the footsteps of Rukmini, Krishna will steal our lives, steal our hearts from this assembly of material desires, and bring us to his transcendental abode. And the wedding of Krishna and Rukmini, which took place in Dwarka, was so beautiful, so wonderful. Today is a very special day. There are many great personalities who are celebrated today. One is Sri Vishnu Priya Devi. Vishnu Priya was the expansion of the Bhu energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Lord has three energies within his pleasure potency: Sri, Bhu, and Nila. It is described that Vishnu Priya Devi, she was born of the great Brahmin Sanatan Mishra, and she was an ocean of beauty and divine qualities. She was so chaste and faithful. Every day she would go to bathe in the river Ganges three times. She would very carefully worship Mother Ganges. She would worship the Brahmins. She would worship Tulsi Devi. And Sachi Mata, the mother of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, each day when she would be at the river Ganges, Vishnupriya Devi, with great respect and love, would touch Sachi Mata's feet and offer her much devoted respects, because she was so illustrious and so elder. And Sachi Mata, whenever Vishnupriya would daily offer her such respects, her heart would be filled with appreciation and affection for this young girl. And she used to give her the blessings that may Krishna give you a very good and suitable husband. After some time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was then Nimai Pandit, his consort Lakshmi Devi, being bitten by the serpent of separation during Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's extended trip to East Bengal, she left this world to return to the spiritual world. And this created so much pain in the heart of Sachi Devi. So she was thinking that my Nimai, he should accept another wife, continue his household life. In this way he will be happy, and also it will ensure that he remains home with me. So one day, upon seeing the beauty and the divine qualities of Vishnupriya on the bank of the Ganges, she began to think that who in all of the creation could be a more suitable bride for my beloved Nimai. So she sent a servant to one Brahmin, whose name was Kashinath Pandit, who was, as a service, helping to make matches between young boys and young girls for marriage. And Sachi Devi told him that, "I think that Vishnupriya, the daughter of Sanatan Mishra, who's such a learned and exalted Brahmin, would be a suitable bride for my beloved Nimai." And when Kashinath Mishra heard this, he became very much ecstatic. He said, "I will go to Sanatan Mishra's house to bring this message." So Kashinath Mishra, when he arrived, Kashinath Pandit, when he arrived at the Raj Pandit Kashinath Mishra's house, Sanatan Mishra's house, the Raj Pandit, Sanatan, he was so happy that the learned Brahmin had come to his house. He offered him a nice seat. He gave him scented water. He gave him all sorts of nice hospitality. And then he asked, "How can I serve you?" And Kashinath replied that, "I have come with a message from Sachi Devi that she would like your daughter to marry her Nimai Pandit." And Kashinath Pandit said that, "As far as I am concerned, there is no one in all of the world with more exalted qualities than Nimai Pandit, and there is no woman that can compare to Vishnupriya." He said, "I think that this marriage will be equal to Krishna and Rukmini, their marriage in Dwarka." So when Sanatan Mishra, the Raj Pandit, heard this, he became so happy. He went and discussed it with his wife and with other family members, and he said, "Immediately this marriage should take place. You send this message back to Sachi Devi that with my full heart, all of us, we agree to this proposal." When Kashinath returned, Sachi Mata was very happy. And when they informed Nimai, he was also very happy. So they were beginning the arrangements for the marriage. At that time, Budhimanta Khan, who was a very, very wealthy man, he came forward and he said that Nimai Pandit, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the Lord of all of creation. And I want to make all the arrangements, and I want to meet all the costs of having the most wonderful marriage that we have, that this land has ever seen. At that time, one devotee, I believe his name was Mukunda Sanjay, he was the person in whom Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at the time was teaching his classes in his home. He said to Budhimanta Khan that, "Please allow me the pleasure of also helping to make arrangements for this marriage." And Budhimanta Khan replied that, "I do not want this to be another poor Brahmin's marriage.
I will make this the most wonderful marriage with all opulences.
So Buddhimanta Khan made so many wonderful arrangements that everyone in the entire Navadvip came for this marriage. Chaitanya Bhagavat explains in great detail that all the traditions were performed very perfectly. All the mantras were chanted by great devotee Brahmins. And so many wonderful flower canopies, beautiful chariots, palanquins. And as in a marriage, the real purpose of the ceremony is not only to make the sacred vows before the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but to get the blessings of everyone present, especially the Brahmins and the Vaishnavas. And how do we get their blessings? By pleasing them. Today in India, the marriages are such a gross, perverted reflection that sometimes people drink alcohol, they eat meat, and they have all sorts of mundane ways of entertainment. This is not marriage. This is simply Maya. Things that get off to a perverted start will be perverted forever without the intervention of some great devotee to change their lives. But things that get off to a good start have all auspicious hope for a divine purpose throughout their lives. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there was wonderful kirtan and there was wonderful Brahmins chanting auspicious slokas. And Lord Chaitanya was given by Buddhimanta Khan a practically unlimited amount of auspicious articles to give in charity. There was incredibly nice prasad, mahaprasad served out to everyone. And there was lines of thousands of people coming to give their blessings to Nimai and Vishnupriya as he was giving so many gifts. And the gifts were so nice that he was giving them to the Brahmins especially, that many of them, they wanted seconds and thirds. So after going in line and coming to get the gift, they would go again to the back of the line and come back and back and back. And some people were thinking, what is this? Is not fair. They're taking so many gifts. And Nimai said, no, they should be satisfied. Let them have as much as they want. Let them come as much as they want. In this way, he completely satisfied everyone. And everyone was simply praising Nimai for his charitable nature and for his goodness of heart, and Vishnupriya for her beauty and her excellent characteristics. In this way, the wedding took place. Of course, we know that in Krishna consciousness, there is two types of ecstasies, sambhog and vipralamba. One is meeting and one is separation. And although Vishnupriya was the supremest of all wives, so caring, so loving, so willing to do anything for her beloved husband, Lord Gaura Sundar, that throughout the day, she was working so hard just to serve him. She would take care of the deities. She would worship Tulsi on his behalf. Whenever guests would come, whether they were expected or unexpected, with her own hands, no servants, she would cook. Whether it was one guest or 20 guests, didn't matter. Within a very short time, she would arrange wonderful prasad for them. She would assist her husband. She would always greet them so cheerfully. She would clean everything. She would make new arrangements. In this way, practically day and night, she was personally working with great enthusiasm to assist her husband in his various services to the Vaishnavas and the Brahmins. And she never complained. She never expected anything except the opportunity to serve him. And plus she would take care of Sachimata, who was the Lord's elder mother. She was so fully engaged constantly. She never argued with the Lord. She never criticized. She never complained. No matter how hard she had to work, when Gaurasundar would return home, she would greet him like a fresh lotus flower with a beautiful smile and sweet words. In this way, she was showing how every wife is supposed to be in Krishna consciousness. And of course, Lord Gaurasundar was also showing how every husband should be in Krishna consciousness. Never engaged in Maya, but always engaged in proper activities in devotional service. Who could possibly leave such a wife as this? But when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw that there were so many atheistic Mayavadis and other classes of puffed up humanity that was not willing to accept the teachings of Krishna and the Sankirtan movement, he decided that the nice people, they are accepting my teachings now, but the crooked people, they will not. And Lord Chaitanya was Patita Pavan Avatar. That means he incarnated to reclaim everybody and give them a chance to be Krishna conscious. So he decided, if I take sannyas, they will respect me and hear what I say. As long as I'm a grihasta, they will think that I am ordinary like them. So with this in mind, he secretly explained to just a few of his intimate associates his plan to take sannyas. And the night he was to leave, Makara Sankranti, Vishnupriya, she revealed her mind, her heart to him, that I cannot live without you. Please do not go. I have heard that you will take sannyas. But certainly, if you leave me, I should give up my life. Because you are my only wealth, my only treasure, my only purpose of living is to be with you and to serve you and to love you. And Lord Vishwambhara explained to his beloved that I will always be in your heart. And you will always be in my heart. No one can separate the love between the devotee and the Lord. But on the material level, husbands, wives, fathers, sons, mothers, daughters, and all these other relationships, they are all Maya. They are all temporary. We cannot be attached to them. So I will always be with you, and you will always be with me on the spiritual platform. And Vishnupriya, with a heart overladen with imminent separation, she told Lord Gaurasundar that whatever pleases you, my Lord, you must do. A
Ashlisyava padaratam panashtumam madarshanam maramahatam karotu va. Yatata tata vitata tulam patomat prananatastu se eva napura.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed in the mood of Sri Radhika that you can do anything you want, my Lord. I am your servant unconditionally. You can embrace me, or you can trample upon me by putting me in distress, or you may even make me brokenhearted by not being present before me, by leaving. You have any right to do anything, whatever pleases you. That is all that matters. The gopis were willing to go to hell for eternity to please Krishna and relieve his headache. So Vishnupriya expressed this mood of divine love and utter surrender. And that night, she massaged her Lord's feet. And after she fell asleep, toward the latter part of the night, Lord Gaurasundar left her to chase after the fallen souls of this age of Kali. And she was never allowed to see him again. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one of his devotees named Bamsi Vadana, he asked him to take care of Sachi Devi and Vishnupriya by being their servant after he left. And on the request of Vishnupriya, it was Bamsi Vadana that carved that beautiful murti of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that we all saw in Navadvip. In fact, we learned that under one of his feet, the name Bamsi Vadana is carved in that deity. And Vishnupriya Devi worshipped that deity. She would chant one round of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and she would count by putting one grain of rice aside. And after chanting throughout the day, whatever grains of rice were there, she would cook that and she would offer it to her beloved murti of Sri Gauranga, and then she would take that prasad. And because of her intense separation, there were constantly tears flowing from her eyes. Her luster disappeared. She became very thin and emaciated. And when devotees saw her condition due to her ecstatic love, their hearts would weep piteously. In fact, it is described that Srinivas Acharya and other great devotees, they went to Navadvip Mayapur Dham, and upon seeing Vishnupriya's condition, it brought such ecstasy of spiritual sorrow to their hearts. Vishnupriya had so many dreams of Lord Gaurasundar, where he would appear and reassure her that he was always with her. At one time she had a dream that Srinivasacharya was coming, and he was one of the great associates of Lord Gaurasundar. And when she saw him, actually, because he was such a great devotee of the Lord, it brought life to her. Also, Jiva Goswami, in the Navadvip Mahatmya, we read how when he came to meet with Lord Nityananda Prabhu, Nityananda Prabhu started taking him all around Navadvip, and one of the first places they went from Srivas Thakur's house where they met was the Yogapith, where he was given the blessings, Jiva Goswami, of Mother Sachi Devi and Vishnupriya Devi. In this way, she has given to the world her own example of complete chastity and faithfulness in the loving service of the Lord under any condition. It is also the disappearance day of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, one of the greatest, most illustrious of all of our Vaishnava Acharyas. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was born in a village in Bengal of the name Devagram to a very pious and exalted Brahmin family. He had two brothers as well. And from his very earliest years, he just had absolutely no interest in material life or sense enjoyment. Completely detached. So his parents were very worried about him. So at a very, very early age, as was the custom in India in those days, they arranged for his marriage. These days, of course, India has been plagued by Western influences. That our daughter, she should go through college, she should go through universities, she should become a big, big doctor or business BCom or whatever. Because only then, when she's in her 20s and she's highly educated, then we will get a nice husband for her. Such a condemned civilization, chasing after the ways of the West. But in Vedic culture, if a girl wasn't married by the time she was 12, the parents were considered failures. In fact, Srila Prabhupada explains that when his sister was 12 years old and she wasn't married, her mother decided to commit suicide because she failed as a mother. But somehow or other, just in time, they found a suitable husband for her. This is a culture based on Krishna consciousness, not based on material considerations. So anyways, Vishwanath Chakravarti was married when he was a small boy, which was perfectly normal in those days. But he just had no interest in this wife that he was living with. So when he was very young, he just decided, forget this. And he left his wife and his parents, and he went to Vrindavan. But before that, he was living in a place called Shayadabad. In Shayadabad, he was studying Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and other Vedic literatures. He would study under one very great devotee of Lord Chaitanya, whose name was Sri Krishna Sharan Chakravarti. And his son was Sri Radharaman Chakravarti. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur took initiation or diksha from Sri Radharaman Chakravarti, and he was also learning from his guru and father, Sri Krishna Charan Chakravarti. The line of disciplic succession was that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally instructed Lokanath Goswami. The disciple of Lokanath Goswami was Narottam Das Thakur. One of the chief disciples of Narottam Das Thakur was Ganga Narayan Chakravarti. Sri Krishna Charan Chakravarti was the disciple of Ganga Narayan. And Sri Radharaman, his son, was his disciple. So Vishwanath Chakravarti was initiated and received shiksha also from the line of Lord Chaitanya through Narottam Das Thakur. And he lived in Sayyidabad for many years studying under them. And he left home. And he left his wife. And he went to Vrindavan. And when he was in Vrindavan, his mother and father-in-law
They became very disturbed. What will become of our daughter? So they actually sent messages to him that you haven't even fulfilled your samskaras with your wife. They actually approached Sri Radharaman Chakravarti, Sri Krishna Charan Chakravarti, that look at what your disciple has done. So they sent for Vishwanath that he should come. So it is explained that, of course, they wanted him to have children with wife. So he came home and he spent one full night with his wife, and the whole time he was just speaking the nectarine message of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu into her ears. He considered that this is the best samskara. And then the next morning, after he enlightened her, he left and went back to Vrindavan. And when he was in Vrindavan, he went to the bhajan kutir of Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, where he wrote the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he decided to reside in Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami's bhajan kutir, on the banks of Radha Kund, which is at the foot of Sri Govardhan Hill. There was one disciple of Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami whose name was Mukunda Das Goswami. And Vishwanath carefully studied under him. And in this way he dedicated his life in the loving service of Sri Sri Radhan Krishna, always immersed in meditation on the mercy of the six Goswamis. And it was there on the banks of Sri Radha Kund that he composed some of the most important literatures in Vaishnav history. He made commentaries on Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. He wrote so many commentaries on the various writings of the six Goswamis. He wrote wonderful, beautiful songs, one of which to this very day all Gaudiya Vaishnavas sing every morning to greet the deities, the Guruvastakam prayers. Samsara dava naladita loka tranaya karu naganagana praptasya khalya nagunagunasya. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains in one of his own writings the meaning of the name he was given, Vishwanath Chakravarti. Vishwanath means one who is always anxious to deliver to all fallen jivas the message of Vishwanath, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore he is Chakravarti. Chakra means circle. It means he's always living within the circle of the association of devotees, and by his preaching he is always expanding that circle. And this is the meaning of the name Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. When Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was living, he was considered to be the guardian and protector of the pure Siddhanta of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. And he had a disciple of the name Baladev Vidyabhushan. And under Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's instruction, because at the time he was very old, Baladev Vidyabhushan wrote the Govinda Bhasya, the Gaudiya Vaishnava commentary on the Vedanta Sutra, and in this way established the very, very supreme position of Gaudiya Vaishnavas amongst all Vaishnava sampradayas. So it was on the banks of Sri Radha Kund, on this very auspicious day of Vasant Panchami, that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur left this world to enter into the eternal lila of Sri Sri Radhan Krishna.
Today is also the appearance day of Srila Raghunandan Thakur. Raghunandan Thakur was a resident of Shikhanda. Shikhanda is just a few miles away from Katwa, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas from Keshav Bharati Maharaj. In that village, many great devotees were living. There were three brothers, Mukunda Das, Madhava Das, and Narahari Sarakar. I believe the eldest was Mukunda Das. Mukunda Das was the personal physician for the king, the Muslim ruler at the time. And one time the king was feeling a little ill and he called for his physician. And Mukunda Das came, and as he was making his diagnosis to the king, who was sitting on a raised platform, Mukunda Das Thakur, he was sitting also on a raised platform, and he was questioning the king, "What about this? What about this?" At that time, one of the servants of the king came with a peacock fan and began to fan the king. And when Mukunda Das saw this peacock feathers, it reminded him of Lord Sri Krishna. And he just began to swoon in ecstasy, and he fell unconscious, and he fell off the platform onto the ground, which was very startling to everyone. And the king was very much concerned. Everyone, they tried to bring him back to consciousness. And when he came back to consciousness, the king asked him, "What is it that caused this? Are you suffering some sort of difficulty?" He did not want to admit that it was his ecstatic love of Krishna that forced him to faint, because devotees are humble. They never like to show people their advanced condition of Krishna consciousness. So he told the king that, "I suffer epilepsy, and sometimes I faint like this." But the king, who was very wise and intelligent, he could understand that actually this person is a very, very exalted, advanced devotee of the Lord. And the king offered him very high and deep respects. And after some time, Mukunda Das asked the king for leave of service, for he could dedicate more of his energy to assisting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lila. Mukunda had a son, and his name was Raghunandan Thakur. Mukunda Das, when he was living at home, he was so much devoted. He had one murti of the name Gopinath, and he would worship Gopinath with great care and attention each and every day. And one day, Mukunda Das was called to go out of town to do some work. So he told Raghunandan, who was then just a boy, he said, "You please, you take care of Gopinathji when I am away. And what you can do is make sure he doesn't go hungry. You bring him nice, your mother will prepare some nice prasad and or bhoga, and you bring that bhoga and you bring it on the altar, and with these prayers you ask the Lord to eat the bhoga." And then Mukunda Das left. So Raghunandanji, he took the offering and he brought it on the altar and he said, "Gopinath, please eat this bhoga. Please eat it all, because my father said you will be hungry if I do not give this to you to eat." So he offered it very nicely, and the Lord, as usual, with his glance, he accepted all the bhakti. But Raghunandan didn't understand this glance technique, because he was never told the intricacies of how to make offerings. So he was begging, "Gopinath, please, you must eat. You'll be hungry. My father will be very disappointed if you don't eat this food. So Gopinath, he ate with his glance. But Raghunandan could not recognize this. So again and again he was pleading. For a long time he was on the altar. He was saying, I cannot leave. I cannot do anything else until you accept this offering. And then he began to cry. He began to cry with such sincere feeling and devotion that, my Lord, please, please accept this. And he cried so much that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Gopinath, right in front of his eyes, ate everything on the plate. And little Raghunandan considered that this is what must always happen. This is very nice. So he took the empty plate off. And his mother saw the empty plate. She said, where is all the food? He said, Gopinath ate it. When the father came home, Mukunda Das Thakur, he was told that there's nothing on the plate. And they were thinking, maybe Raghunandan ate it. He said, where is all of it? He said, no, I offered it, but he wouldn't eat for a long time. And finally I cried and I cried and I cried, and then he came down and ate everything. So Mukunda Das was thinking, what? I don't think my child would lie. He said, you make another offering. And he gave him a laddu. He said, you offer this laddu. And Raghunandan went on the altar and he offered the laddu. And Mukunda Das was outside looking through the window, secretly hiding, at evil. And he saw little Raghunandan begging, please accept this laddu. My father wants you to have this laddu. And again he began to cry. And then again Gopinath came down and he ate half the laddu. And Mukunda Das saw this. He was very happy. He could understand the pure, unalloyed love for his son, that his son had for Lord Krishna. And it is said that there is a temple near Srikanda where the other half of that laddu still exists. Mukunda Das realized the reason why he only ate half is because just shortly before he ate the whole offering. So he wasn't so hungry to eat the whole laddu. So just to show his love for his devotee, he ate half. It describes in Chaitanya Charitamrita how one day Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was associating with the residents of Srikanda. And he asked Mukunda Das, are you the father of Raghunandan or are you his son? And Mukunda Das said that Raghunandan is my father and he is my son because he is the one who has taught me the principles of Krishna consciousness and brought me to your lotus feet. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very happy to hear this. That the real father of our life is the one who brings us to the feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the one who reveals to us Krishna Bhakti. Narahari Sarakar was one of the very, very great and intimate associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Raghunandan was trained in the principles of bhakti under his uncle, Narahari. And it is described also that one day in a village just outside of Srikanda, Raghunandan engaged in a wonderful, beautiful kirtan with one other devotee, and one of his ankle bells, his ankle bracelets, broke and fell into a lake. And that lake to this day is still called
Nupur Sarovar, the place where the ankle bell of Raghunandan has broke during the beautiful kirtan. Every year during the Rath Yatra in Jagannath Puri, Raghunandan Thakur would come to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he would sing beautiful kirtans and dance in the wonderful kirtans of the Lord. And he became one of the very intimate eternal associates of the Lord. And it is described also in Bhakti Ratnakar by Narahari Chakravarti that when Raghunandan Thakur was very old, at that time Srinivas Acharya was living in Jajigram. You remember, we all went to Jajigram? He was living in that place. And Raghunandan called for him to come to Shikhanda. So when Srinivas came, Raghunandan Thakur came, which he went before the deity of Gopinath. And Raghunandan Thakur had a son named Kanai. And he said to the deity, "Please accept this son of mine as your property and as your eternal servant and take care of him. And I am giving my body and my life to you." And then he went before the deities of Narahari Sarakar Thakur, his guru, Gaur and Madan Gopal. And he also dedicated his son to Madan Gopal and dedicated his own life. And then he told Srinivas Acharya, "Please begin kirtan." And there were 3 days of kirtan. And just during that kirtan, Raghunandan left his body. And when Kanai and Srinivas and the other devotees saw the disappearance of Raghunandan Thakur, they began to weep and they began to cry. But then, as it was the custom, his son arranged a nice festival in the honor of the disappearance of his father, and they had beautiful kirtan. And during the kirtan, before their own eyes, Raghunandan Thakur appeared before them, dancing in transcendental ecstasy. It is also the appearance day of Sri Pundarik Vidyanidhi. The class is becoming very late. And it's also the appearance day of Raghunath Das Goswami. Pundarik Vidyanidhi, in short, he was the incarnation of Vrishabhanu Maharaj, the father of Srimati Radharani. And for this reason, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would call Pundarik Vidyanidhi his father. And there's beautiful stories of how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu one day was longing, crying out, "Pundarik, Pundarik, Pundarik, Vidyanidhi, my father." And the devotees could not understand how he was feeling such separation from someone they did not know. And then Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he came from East Bengal, Chatigram, and he came to Navadvip Dham because he could feel the calling of his Lord within his heart. He was a very rich man. He was living in great opulence. And Mukunda Dutt, the brother of Vasudev Dutt, they were from the same village, and he understood what an exalted devotee Pundarik Vidyanidhi was. At that time, Mukunda Dutt took his dearmost friend, Gadadhar Pandit, and told him, "There's a very great Vaishnav saint who's come to Navadvip. I will take you to him." So Gadadhar Pandit went, and they came into the palatial residence of Pundarik Vidyanidhi, and Mukunda Dutt introduced Sri Gadadhar Pandit, and Pundarik Vidyanidhi was very kind upon him and welcomed him. But Gadadhar Pandit was very confused. What type of Vaishnava is this? He's dressed with fine silks, and he has people with fine chamaras fanning him, and he has all sorts of beautiful perfumes in his hair, and he's chewing on pan, and he has all sorts of gold and silver and brass paraphernalia all around him, and sometimes he's looking in the mirror to see the beauty of his own face. He was thinking, Vaishnavas are supposed to be very simple. I don't understand why Mukunda Dat has brought me to this man. In this way he was finding fault. And Mukunda Dat, who was a very deeply realized and intimate associate of the Lord, could understand the doubt in Gadadhar Pandit's mind. So he began to sing a beautiful song. Mukunda Dat, his singing was so sweet that no devotee could resist from melting upon hearing his beautiful kirtans and bhajans. He began to sing a beautiful song of how wonderful Krishna was. How Putana came. She was a rakshasi who had already killed so many thousands of innocent babies. She came with poison on her breast with only one purpose, to kill Krishna. She was sent by Kamsa. And yet Krishna, upon sucking the milk from her breast, he elevated her to the most exalted position of being one of the mothers of the Lord in the spiritual world of Goloka Vrindavan. Who is more merciful and loving than Krishna? And he was just singing this beautiful song that you will not find anywhere anyone so merciful and loving as Krishna, who has made Putana his own mother. And when Pundarik Vidyanidhi heard this, he just began to cry out, who is more merciful? Who is more loving than Krishna? Where can we find anyone like Krishna? And he went into ecstatic trance. So much ecstasy. The tears, like rivers, began to flow from his eyes. Within seconds, all of his body was drenched with tears. The beautiful silken bed he was laying on became drenched with tears. Soon his body began to vibrate like a earthquake. And he began to he fell and began to move around in such a way, kicking his arms and kicking his legs and rolling here and there, crying out, who is more merciful than Krishna? And as he was doing like this, soon his beautiful comb perfume hair became just scattered everywhere. And all of his clothes, he just ripped them all to pieces. And all the beautiful silk canopies and drapes, they were all ripped to pieces. And everything in the room that could possibly be broken was broken to pieces. And everything else was just scattered everywhere. And 10 men came to try to hold him down. But they could not contain his ecstatic love as he was just rolling and moving and crying and weeping and palpitating and vibrating in ecstasy. And then finally his ecstasy came to such heights that it just couldn't possibly go any higher, and he fell unconscious. I believe it was for about 6 hours he just laid completely unconscious with no sign of life. At that time, Gadadhar Pandit, who was actually a great scholar of bhakti, he could understand that this was not a fake show. This was genuine, actual, ecstatic symptoms of the highest level. So he was thinking, I have committed an offense to this great soul by thinking him an ordinary human being, by thinking him a worldly sense enjoyer. So he turned to Mukunda Dat and said, I am so much grateful to you. I am so much grateful that by your kindness you have given me an awareness and an understanding of the greatness of this divine personality. But I have offended him by thinking him to be a materialistic person. So I think to atone for this offense, I should accept initiation from him. Now when Pundarik Vidyanidhi came back to consciousness, Mukunda Dat
explained that this Gadadhar Pandit, from his very youth, from his earliest ages, he has been completely detached from material enjoyment, and he's completely attached to the loving service of the Lord. He's an intimate associate of Sri Gaurasundar from the earliest ages, and he wants to take initiation from you. And Pundarik Vidyaniri, with great humility, he said, what type of piety must I have performed, and what type of supreme mercy the Lord is bestowing upon me by giving me a disciple like Gadadhar Pandit? And they set a particular date when the initiation would take place. And when Gadadhar Pandit approached Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and told him he wanted to take initiation, Mahaprabhu was very happy and gave his complete blessings. That night, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was in his room and they were having kirtan, and Pundarik Vidyaniri was outside, and when he heard, when he saw Mahaprabhu, they were both in such ecstatic love. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was in the mood of Sri Radharani, was reunited with her beloved father and devotee. Chaitanya Bhagavat describes a beautiful story of the meeting of Mahaprabhu and Pundarik Vidyaniri. And from that time, Pundarik Vidyaniri remained in Navadvip as one of the most intimate loving servants of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In fact, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would sometimes say that I have appeared in this world only to reciprocate love with Pundarik Vidyaniri. And it is also the appearance day of Sri Raghunath Das Goswami. As you know, Raghunath Das Goswami was the son of Govardhan Maju Madar, who was the younger brother of Hiranya, who were big, big zamindars or landowners. They lived in a place called Saptigram. And Govardhan and Hiranya, they were very charitable to the Vaishnavas because they were actually very sincere, great devotees of the Lord themselves. And they always offered all respect to Sri Advaita Acharya. And they funded most of the activities of the Vaishnavas. Their family guru was Balaram, their family priest was Balaram Acharya, and their family guru was Jarunandan Acharya. So Balaram Acharya and Jarunandan Acharya, they were very intimate associates of Sri Haridas Thakur. So when Raghunath was very young, they would bring him for the darshan of Haridas Thakur, who was at that time living near Fulia. And when Raghunath Das saw his detachment and saw his attachment to the chanting of the holy names, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, he became maddened with ecstatic love and the desire to just give up everything. He was married also at a very young age to a beautiful bride who had the qualities of a heavenly angel in all respects. And he was given all the wealth and prestige of his family and his father's, who were literally what is equal to multi-billionaires by today's standards. Srila Prabhupada explained that when he was young, one paisa, this is when Srila Prabhupada was young, one paisa would feed a whole family a whole day. So you could understand. And they were getting so many lakhs and lakhs of rupees, equal to billions of dollars. And that was all meant for him. He was the only son. He was the only descendant of the whole family. Anyways, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was returning from his first attempted trip to Vrindavan, wherein Ramakeli, Sanatan Goswami said, you should not go to Vrindavan with so many hundreds and thousands of people. You should go with
yourself or one or two others. So Mahaprabhu returned from Mangalakeli and was on his way back to Jagannath Puri. He stopped in Shantipur. There he met again his mother, Sachi Devi, and all the devotees came. And it was there that Raghunath Das Goswami first met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He met him twice in Shantipur. And he was trying through so many means to run away from home, to leave everything, to go to Jagannath Puri to meet the Lord. But the Lord told him, don't be a Markata Vairagi. Don't practice the renunciation of monkeys. Monkeys live in trees, naked, and eat only roots, but they have so many female monkeys all around them having sex. He said, you should go home and you should pretend to be completely attached to material life, but in your heart you should be completely detached and always thinking of Krishna. Like a wife who is attached to another man, she does her duties very carefully so the husband does not suspect it. But in her heart, she's always thinking of that other man. Mahaprabhu said, you'd be like this. And he said, in the near future, when Krishna is merciful to you, he will show you the way to escape from your family life and take to the life of renunciation in Jagannath Puri. So Raghunath pretended to be a nice husband, son, and businessman. And there is a wonderful story of how the father and uncle, they were not giving the full taxes to the Muslim governor. So they came to arrest, but they had fled, and Raghunath was home. So they actually put Raghunath in prison. And he was being by this senior person who was a competitor of father. He was being persecuted and threatened and mistreated. But every time they wanted to come and beat him, when they saw the beautiful face of Raghunath, they just couldn't do it. He was too gentle, too beautiful. So Raghunath was such an expert diplomat for Krishna that he began to say, you are like my uncle. You are such dear friends with my father. And you are like a living saint. You are so pure and so religious and so gentle and so wonderful. And amongst brothers, there's always fighting, but you should not take it so seriously. And when he heard this, tears began to flow from his eyes. He said, yes, Raghunath, with such love, I love you like my own son. So you go home and you tell your father and brother and uncle that they should give me something. Raghunath said, yes, yes. In this way, he was pretending to be very, very expert in his worldly affairs. And one day, he had so many guards and Brahmins, because previous to this, whenever he would run away from home, which was practically a daily affair, they had to forcibly drag him back. But now, because he was acting like he was happy in grihastha life, the guards were not so strict. One day, under the security of these guards, he went to visit Nityananda Prabhu in Panihati. And Nityananda Prabhu requested him to make a wonderful feast of chira and dahi, chip rice and yogurt, for all the devotees. And he made wonderful feast. And Nityananda Prabhu invited Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And they both took the prasad together. And they both danced in ecstasy and fed all the other devotees. And because Raghunath pleased the devotees so much, he pleased Gornitai so much, that Nityanand Prabhu not only gave him personally his own remnants and Lord Chaitanya's remnants, but he placed his feet on Raghunath's head and told him that I grant you the benediction that very soon you'll be relieved from the deep dark well of material life and you will enter into the renounced order in Jagannath Puri. And there, Lord Chaitanya will put you under the direct care of Swarup Damodar Goswami, his personal secretary. And all your desires will be fulfilled. Raghunath understood that without the mercy of Nityanand Prabhu, no one can get the mercy of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So soon after that, one night, Yadunandan Acharya came and told Raghunath that the pujari has left his duties. You are expert at convincing anybody of anything, so please convince him to resume his duties. So it was the middle of the night, toward the end of the night actually, and Raghunath told Yadunandan Acharya, I will take care of this business, you go home. And then he went into the forest and he began to go to Jagannath Puri. I believe it took him about, 12 days, to reach Jagannath Puri. And he didn't go the main route. He went indirectly, a very long way, because he knew his father would be sending guards to search for him. And he only ate just a few days, little milk or some fried chickpeas. That's all he had the whole trip. He was fasting. But he didn't mind, because he was completely absorbed in the meditation of seeing his beloved Lord, Sri Gaura Sundar. And when the next morning they were looking for Raghunathas, they asked Yadunandan Acharya what happened. And when he told them the story, they realized that he's gone. So they sent their servants and the guards and the police, everyone, after. At that time, Shivananda Sen was taking a group of Vaishnavas from Bengal for the Chaturmasya to Puri, and they found him. Have you seen our Raghunath? He said, I have not seen Raghunath. So his parents had great broken hearts. But when Raghunath Das arrived in Jagannath Puri, he went to Gambira, where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was residing. And he fell at his feet, and Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu, with great love, he picked him up and embraced him. He said, it is only by the mercy of Krishna that one can be delivered from this deep, dark well of material life. You have attained the mercy of Krishna. And Raghunath Das replied, my Lord, I do not know what is the mercy of Krishna. I only know that it is your causeless mercy that is saving my life. And then Mahaprabhu gave him under the care of Swarup Damodar. And for many, many years, Raghunath Das was intimately serving both Swarup Damodar Goswami and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And by his own eyewitness experience of Lord Chaitanya's final pastimes in Jagannath Puri, and by hearing and reading the diary of Swarup Damodar, Raghunath Das Goswami became the supremest authority of the Antyalila of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the final pastimes. And after Mahaprabhu, he was so loving toward Raghunath that his most precious possession, Mahaprabhu's, was a Govardhan Shila that was given to him from Govardhan Hill that he would wear around his neck, that was always absorbed with tears from his eyes. Mahaprabhu gave that Shila to Raghunath Das and told him, by giving you this Shila, I am giving you my heart, Krishna. And he taught Raghunath how to worship Govardhan, Giriraj. And after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Swarup Damodar Goswami left the world, Raghunath Das Goswami went to Vrindavan and decided to take his life by jumping from Govardhan Hill. But first he wanted to get the blessings of Rupan Sanatan. And Rupan Sanatan told him, no, you cannot take your life. You may be suffering terrible separation from Mahaprabhu and Sri Chaitanya and Swarup Damodar, but you must know what is your service. You are the only one who knows the Antyalila of the Lord. You must narrate this each and every day for the pleasure of all the Vaishnavas. So Raghunath Das Goswami was given by Rupan Sanatan
a beautiful place to stay on the banks of Sri Radha Kund. And there, every day, he was absorbed in his sadhana. He would chant at least 2 lakhs of the holy name of Krishna, Maha Mantra, every day. So many thousands of times he would offer obeisances to the deity. Thousands of times a day, minimum, he would offer obeisances to the Vaishnavas. He was so much absorbed in devotional service that he gave up all sleeping. He would only eat, sleep a few hours a week. And as far as eating, he came to such a level of absorption in Krishna that every few days he would take just 3 drops of buttermilk in his, and while he was taking it, he would weep in guilt, feeling, "I am so fallen. See how I am wasting my time absorbed in sense gratification." This was the standard of Raghunath Das's renunciation. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so pleased to see this renunciation. Vairagi, it is explained that renunciation is the sustenance of the devotees of Mahaprabhu. And Gaur Hari is very pleased to see such renunciation. Raghunath Das Goswami lived in this way on the banks of Sri Radha Kund. He wrote many beautiful Vaishnava literatures. And he is to be considered the Prayojana Acharya of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the Acharya who by his life and teachings exhibited the highest level of self-realization, which is the mood of the gopis, unmotivated, uninterrupted, sweet love for Radha and Krishna, and loving service. So Raghunath Das Goswami, while he was narrating the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami would come and hear every day. And on the basis of those teachings, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami wrote Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, which all Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas declared to be the supreme and highest theistic literature in all of the history of creation. Chaitanya Charitamrita is to be considered the most perfect, pure of all literatures. It is the postgraduate study of Srimad Bhagavatam. And therefore, at the end of each chapter, Kaviraj Goswami prays, Sri Rupa Raghunatha Pade Yara Kar As, Kare Aradas, Chaitanya Charitamrita Kahi Krishna Das, that bowing at the lotus feet of my two gurus, Rup and Raghunath Das Goswami, I write this Chaitanya Charitamrita. It is also the day of Visant Panchami, the beginning day of the spring season, in which Lord Sri Krishna performs his Rasalila with Sri Radharani and the gopis at Govardhan Hill. And we will discuss that tonight. We will have a wonderful festival tonight for Basant Panchami, where the deities will be put in a beautiful altar of flowers, and the devotees will be singing beautiful songs and offering nice bhoga for their pleasure. So please come tonight at 6:30 to celebrate Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Basant Panchami. Thank you very much. Adivo.